Hi, Ryan. So good to see you, my friend.
I'm ready.
You're ready. Oh, I'm ready to hear you say that. That's good. As we gather on this day that the Lord has made, welcome as we meet for worship and to be reminded of some of the activities that's happening among us. Thank you to those who made sure the men's breakfast went well on yesterday, and all who helped with that. Reminder to our consistory that our next consistory meeting is this coming Tuesday, 7 p.m. Downstairs here in the community room. The next craft gathering will be October 18th from 2 to 3 p.m. And if you plan to attend or you know of young people who may attend with that, please reach out to Nancy Gore or email her at thewastana.ss at ptconnect.net. Our November newsletter articles will be due on the 20th. It's not too long from now. Looking forward to our next Jenny's lunch on the 23rd of October, Thursday. And you see the menu before you, shepherd's pie, and rolls and desserts. Our community dinner, October 25th, 4 p.m. Through 6 p.m. Sign-up sheets and donations, food donations list are downstairs for that. And we're gearing up for our craft fair here, our second craft fair. And that will be November 8th from 10 to 3 p.m. And then just a reminder of wreaths across America. We'll be placing the wreaths on December 13th. But please see Nancy if you would like to contribute to purchasing a wreath before then. And okay, snacks for elementary schools as well coming up before us. And we're so grateful for those who provide snacks for our young during that time. All right, other announcements prayer requests or announcements? I see Ryan's hand and then I saw Karen's hand.
My dad and my big sister, Mr. Baker.
And him. All right. Thank you so much, Ryan, for sharing those. Karen.
Two things. One is to reiterate Pastor Kent's reminder about the community dinner. A reminder that there's still sign-up sheets downstairs. We could need help in some areas downstairs. We still need some things or some people to help work if you would like to come down and at least look at it and see if there's something you feel inclined to do. And also for those who are baking pies or pie dishes downstairs that you can pick up if you want them or need them. And next Sunday is our large coffee hour that I will be setting up. If you have any questions, you can see me. No desserts are needed. That's already taken care of.
All right, for our next large coffee hour. Thank you. Fran.
We will have choir practice. It's going to be the joint choir with the children and any adults joining them, and we'll sing next Sunday.
So. All right. Larry.
Yeah, just a reminder to everybody, the parsonage, the heat is very low, keeping it down low to watch our money and everything, and be aware there's a winter watch switch in there. It's plugged in, and there's a light plugged into it. If you go by and you see the light on in the front window, towards 5S, you see that light on, please notify somebody. Because it's basically set at like 40 degrees, and if it gets below 40 degrees, the switch turns on, it turns that light on. So just wanted everybody to be aware of that again, this winter. Because we really got to watch that, make sure.
Right.
This time, we're not going to shut everything down. You talked about shutting everything down and draining everything. This time, we're not
going to
do that yet.
No. Please help us out with that. If you happen to be driving through, that light won't be on unless the temperature has dropped. And it's if you drive by, you'll see a single light bulb, and that's right in the front window there. All right. Our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Let us prepare for worship during this time of prelude. Unto the Lord. Let us join together, please, in the singing of our introit, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Our synthesis this morning will come to us from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29, the first verse, and then verses 4 through 7. These are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the elders of the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon.
Thus says the Lord.
Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce.
Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease.
But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for it is for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Let's continue our worship, please, with our first hymn of praise, hymn number 52, Our O God, Our Help in Ages Past.
Turn
for years to come. Be thou our guide when life shall last, and our eternal home. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he might have mercy upon them, and to our God, that he might abundantly pardon. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we confess that we have turned away from you, forgetting your presence and neglecting the needs of your people. We have sinned in thought, word, and deed, failing to carry out justice and acting out of selfless. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your loving kindness. Forgive our sins and heal us by your Spirit. Hear us as we spend a few moments of silent prayer, O Heavenly Father. Hear us as we pray. Send your Holy Spirit to remind us of your forgiveness and give us strength to face the world's challenges with mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't you love it when you hear someone says, "I forgive you"? Well, God says that to us. And one of the ways we remind ourselves that God says that are by these words: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases." Beloved people of God, believe this good news, and let us live in the loving kindness of our God.
Lord, have mercy on us. Come and fill our land. Cleanse with your fire, heal with your touch. Humbly we bow and call upon you now. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us.
And just before we are seated, we remember the words that of the Apostles' Creed by saying, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, our only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and of life everlasting. Amen." Thank you. Please be seated. Please hear these words our Lord Jesus Christ have said. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This is the first and great commandment. The second one is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two commands depends all of the law and all of the prophets." Amen. Right now, our reading words of assurance will come to us from Psalm 111, verses 1 through 10. Thank you, Nancy.
Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who have pleasure in them, full of honor and majesty in his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of their covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people, and he commanded his covenant forever. Holy and terrible is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who practice. His praise endures forever.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much.
Please be seated. Right now, our ministry of music, rejoice in the Lord always. Thank you, friend. I hate to hear when you're done. I love to hear the music. Thank you so much for playing that. Rejoice in the Lord always. I was able to sing a little bit to that. Then you went off to a wonderful rendition of that. Our children's sermon today is just a thing I remember hearing. Probably you remember hearing also growing up. Whenever you were with mom or dad, a grandparent, a granddad, or what have you, foster parents in our case, and someone gave you something, I always heard these words right after that. What do you say? And a couple of times I said, better had. the response is, you say thank you, right? Never forget to say thank you. And I thought about that in reference to our relationship with God. How often do we just say to God, thank you? And it's wonderful to pray, and it's a great joy to come before the throne of grace. God has asked us to do that, and He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear all of our needs. But wouldn't it be wonderful if all we do and bowing our head to God is not asking for things? It's okay to ask for things. It's not asking for healing, and we certainly want to do that. But wouldn't it be great if all we do is just to say, God, I just want to say to you, thank you. And then perhaps list just a few things we're thanking Him for. One of my favorite parts of the year is the colors of the leaves when they die and they begin to fall. I don't like when they fall because you got to rake them up and all that. But I love it when you see the colors. And then we just say to God, thank you for the ways that you color the creation. Another thing I love to do is I love to see when people are kind one to another. And I'm at various different events at your business, Kelly, and other places, and I see kindness that's happening. And I just say to God, thank you for that. And then the last thing, I'm a people watcher. I don't like to shop. I like to sit on the bench when somebody you know is in the shop and they're in the shopping mall. I sit on the bench and I watch people as they go around. And I like to say, well, thank you, Lord, for the ability to see this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. School is in. Oops, I said that. School is in, and homework is for all of us. And the homework I would like to give all of us, and I mean me too, is this day, this week, spend time just saying to God, thank you. And list whatever you're thanking Him for. Even if it's just a moment, and you say, you see something, or something comes, say, thank you, Lord, for that. And just watch and see what wonderful things occur when we're thankful to God for the good things that He does. Father God, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymnals, please, and turn to our next hymn of praise, 462. And at this time, we'll dismiss our young people to Sunday school and let us join together and sing. Like a shepherd, lead us. Thank you. Please be seated. Let us ask God's blessing, please, upon his word. Father God, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Father, from his pages. We learn how much you care for your creation, for us, for all that you have made. And thank you also that your word helps us and enables us to be the people of God. Also, bless your word this morning is our prayer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning will come to us from Luke's Gospel, chapter number 17. And we'll read verses 11 through 19. We're continuing on. Our lectionary continues on for where we left off on last week. Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And now he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise, go thy way, your faith has made you well." Don't forget to say thank you. Don't forget to say thank you. There's two things that leap out of this passage as we read it. The first is that acclamation that he was a Samaritan, and a foreigner. And then the words that Jesus says, as they were going, they were healed. Leprosy is at the center of this discussion, and leprosy is an infectious disease caused by bacterium. And it primarily, as we know it by reading scripture, or perhaps by what we know of the disease itself, it affects the skin and the peripheral nerves and mucosa of the upper respiratory. It's a very horrible disease. It is also contagious. It is not the most contagious, but it's contagious. It can be spread by droplets from the nose and mouth during close and frequent contact with untreated individuals. And in ancient Israel society, leprosy also was not only a physical ailment, but it was also a social and religious ailment. You were separated. You lived in colonies of leprosy. In Leviticus chapters 13 through 14 says a lot about leprosy and how people were treated back in those days. And in our text, in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, occurs during the time that Jesus journeys from Jerusalem and passing along the borders of Samaria and Galilee. And in doing so, who appears but 10 lepers. It's interesting that Jesus was in that area anyway, because Jewish people would often bypass the area of Samaria. They just did not like the Samaritans. One of the places we see this kind of occurrence happen is in John's Gospel. John chapter 4 and verses 4 through 9 tells the story how as Jesus was passing through Samaria, he came to a land, the city of Samaria, called Sychar. And there he stopped at a field that Jacob had, and there was a well there. And you recall how that Jesus was thirsty and wanted water. But then there was a Samaritan woman there. And Jesus had conversation with the Samaritans, this Samaritan woman. And her question to Jesus down in verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings, have no dealings with Samaritans." Now, who are the Samaritans? Well, the Samaritans are a religious ethnic group originating from ancient Jerusalem, and they claim to be descendants of the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh. And they had their own type of religious scriptures and they're called the Samaritan Pentateuch. They also were followers of Moses, but they believe that their center of worship was on Mount Gerizim, not in Jerusalem. So the Samaritans and the Jewish people always had this type of bicker back and forth. Oftentimes, the Samaritans were called, the Jewish people were called Samaritans dogs. In one of my devotionals this morning, I think it was the Upper Room devotion, gave the story of this Syro-Phoenician woman who came to Jesus and asked Jesus to heal her daughter. And Jesus says it's not right for we to give our crumbs to the dogs. It was typical for the Jewish people to speak that way of the Samaritans. And the Samaritans seemed to bring their understanding of their faith apart from the Jewish understanding. But notice with me down in verse 12 in our text, there is a cry for mercy. The cry for mercy. John chapter 17, verse 12. While I was with them, I kept them, Luke chapter 17, verse 12, says, "As Jesus entered the village, 10 lepers standing at a distance cried out, 'Lord, have mercy on me.'" This is that which we see back in Leviticus chapter 13, when the lepers who had the disease wore clothes and they let their hair of their head hang loose, and he shall come and cover his upper lip and cry, "Unclean, unclean," and he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. And so the lepers, as they were approaching Jesus, knew that they were unclean, so they They were at a distance, and they cried out to him, following their mandates of Scripture. Now, notice how Jesus responded to their cry. He just simply said this, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Now, why in the world would he say that? Why not go to the doctors? Why not take two pills and call me in the morning? Well, why go show yourself to the priest? Well, again, we go back to the book of Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 14, verses 2 through 4 reads this way. "This shall be the law of the lepers for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and a priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall make an examination. If the leprous disease is healed in the leper, the priest shall command them to take for him, that is to be clean, two living clean birds, and cedar wood, and scarlet stuff, and hyssop," and it goes on to describe what happens. But he had to go to the priest. And it was the priest that looked at that skin disease to determine if they were cleansed. Now, here's what I love about this text. There's a lot I love about the scripture, but I'd love to have seen this happen. Here are 10 of them. One is a Samaritan. We only know that because the text says it. It looks like the other 9 are Jewish people, because the text says, when Jesus says, "Weren't there 9 and there's only this foreigner, non-Jewish person." That's what we think he meant by that, non-Jewish person. And this foreigner, and the Bible says, as they were going to the priest, they were healed. It doesn't say while they went to the temple and start to knock on the door. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that after they saw the priest, they were healed. But while they were walking, that's an act of faith. You see, what Jesus said to them is, "Go to the priest." And by faith, they started to do that. And beloved, that's what faith is. Faith is just taking Jesus at his word. And sometimes Jesus would invite us to do something, and it might seem strange to us. It might seem foreign to us, and it may not make sense to us. But if God says it to us, God has a purpose in saying that. And the Bible says, as he said that, they started to go, and all of a sudden on their way to the priest, they kind of looked, and wow, look at that. The leprosy is gone. And the Bible says, one of them, this Samaritan, this one of whom the Jewish people had no good thing to say about them, he didn't really care. What he wanted to do was to go back to Jesus and say, "Thank you." And the Bible says he fell at his feet and he worshiped him. And he said, "Thank you for healing us and healing me." And the Bible tells us, in verses 17 through 19, Jesus says, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole." There's so much in that verse, those two verses, that we really have no time to unpack, but allow me just to say a couple of things about that. First, the question, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? And by those words, we get the sense that the ingratitude of the other 9 really affected Jesus. The ingratitude of the other 9 really affected Jesus. I don't know where we as Christians sometimes become so callous at times that we think that our actions don't affect the Lord. And we say, "Oh, I know if I sin, I can ask God's forgiveness and he'll forgive me." But we forget sometimes that our actions affect Jesus. You see, Jesus healed 10 lepers. Oh, that was a horrible disease. It was so horrible that they were living in seclusion from other people. They were socially unacceptable. They were socially and morally and even religiously unclean. Everything you can say about a person who had leprosy was they were that outcast. And all of a sudden, Jesus heals them, made them part of the accepted. And you would think every last one of them would at least turn back. Maybe they wouldn't deal with the Samaritan, bow down and at his feet and all that. You would just at least think that they would turn back and say, thank you, and go their way. But they didn't do that. And I kind of wondered when I read this text and thought of this text this week, I wondered in which ways do I fail to say thank you to God for the things that he does. And I just take for granted. You see, beloved, I woke up this morning and I was able to dress myself halfway. And by God's grace, I'm in my right mind. And did I pause to say thank you to God? Because I tell you, as I slept last night, tossing and turning and snoring, as Colleen was saying, I did not make sure my heart was beating. I did not make sure I was still breathing. I didn't make sure that the blood was flowing nicely through my veins. God did all of that. And did I say thank you, Lord? I wonder how many times, like those other 9, that my act of ingratitude affects God, affects Jesus. And then this story also underscores the key themes of faith, gratitude, and breaking through barriers. There's some people who will not relate to us no matter where we are. It used to be when I was growing up, it used to be said you're on the other side of the tracks. Nowadays, you're just in, you know, you're those people, you're that group, and you're this and you're that. You're labeled, and people have no dealings with you. And yet, gratitude and faith and following Jesus' example breaks through those barriers that would prevent us from reaching out to others. This scripture challenges us to consider our own response to God's grace, urging us not only to accept God's gift, but return those gifts in gratitude and in worship. Don't forget to say thank you. Lastly, as we go about our lives, let us actively ask for God's mercy, just like those who cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, for whatever reason that might be. And then obey his commands, even as the path seemed unclear. They were told, go to the priest. Didn't make sense to them, unless it probably didn't make a whole lot of sense to the Samaritan. The Jewish people should have known. That's back in Leviticus. Samaritans should have known too, because that's part of their writings. By doing so, we open ourselves to the fullness of God's grace and experiencing healing, not only in our bodies, but also in our minds and spirit, to live a life fully trusting in God. Let us be grateful for the ways God continues to view us and lead us in our lives, constantly acknowledging the wonders of God's that God performs in our daily life. Let us not forget to say thank you to God. Father God, I use these words not flippantly, but use them seriously. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that even in this world that we're surrounded with bad news and discouraging things and horrible scenes, and maybe we're living in the midst of difficult times. So gratitude sometimes eludes us. Sometimes it's the last thing we would think about. What do I have to be grateful for? This might be our response. Teach us, Lord, and help us, Holy Father, to be thankful. Help us to look into ways in which you are good and gracious and kind and merciful in our lives. And help us to say thank you and reaching out to those whom others have forgotten, just like you did. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Right now, we invite our ushers to come as we receive our tithes and offerings. Thank you for the opportunity to receive these gifts. We ask your blessing upon them. In Christ's most holy name we pray. Amen. Let us pass the peace. What a joy to be able to gather together and to share the praises and to share the greetings. Peace be with you. Wow. And our Roman Catholic friends who before receiving communion always pass the peace. And that is based out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that talks about being in right relationship one with the other, if we're going to be in right relationship with God, and how wonderful it is that we have that opportunity in our worship to share the past of peace. One announcement we forgot to make is just to remind you, after service, there is handheld donuts and bits and pieces downstairs with coffee. And what a wonderful time to, before we go out to the fall that's just before us and the cool weather that's coming in the rainy season on tomorrow. You might want to have some coffee with us today before heading out, and you're most welcome to do so. Another part of our worship that's so precious is to pray and to have time of prayer. And I wonder if there's prayer requests we wish to share. Ryan. All right, thank you. I'd love to hear Ryan's prayer requests. I look forward to those, my friend. Thank you for sharing those with us. We certainly will. Yes, Tom. Pray for Carol as she will get a knee replacement. And keep Carol in our prayers for that. Yes, Doug.
Pray for my wife Joyce, who's in St. Mary's Hospital with a fractured pelvis.
So keep Joyce in our prayers for healing with her. Yes. Pauline Cox, thank you for helping. You have such a soft-spoken voice.
Yeah.
I can't really, no apologize for that. Continue to pray for Pauline. I can tell you that she, please continue to pray for Pauline. I can tell you that she is coming along well, and thank you for your prayers for her. I wonder if there's others. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father God, thank you that we can gather together as a community of faith and lifting up needs that come before us as we bring them before you. And like as our text this morning in Luke 17 talked about these lepers, persons who were affected by leprosy approached you and cried out for mercy. Father, we likewise cry out for mercy, albeit for different reasons perhaps than they, but nonetheless we do the same. And we cry out mercy for those whom we are praying for and for healing. Think of Joyce, and we think of Pauline. We think, Father, of Debbie, and we think of, Mrs. Carol Decker. We think, Father, also of others of our loved ones and shut-ins. I think I did say Pauline. Loved ones and shut-ins who are not feeling well. We pray for them. We pray for friends and loved ones who are scheduled to have procedures like Carol and her knee replacement. We pray when that time comes that the hand of mercy and grace will be upon her and that this procedure will be successful and well. We pray, Father, for all who are hurting, for whatever their time of distress might be. Some of us have learned by listening to the news of the explosion that happened down in Tennessee. We pray, Father, for the families affected there. Some of us also have learned and heard of the possible release of prisoners who were held in Hamas. We pray for these peoples and their families. We pray for all who are displaced. We pray, Father, for those who were injured in the helicopter that went down this morning, and I forget where. We pray, Father, for all who are in places of distress with the weather and the floodings that are expected to happen on the East Coast, and places that are burning because of fires or hurting because of drought, and certainly are affected adversely because of lack of food and famine. So much distress and hurt and difficulties in our world today. Some things we're mindful of, others we have no idea is going on, but you know. So while we are encouraging us to spend time saying thank you, we also come before your throne and we cry for your mercy. Have mercy, O God, upon all that is broken in our world today, not only in our world and our communities, but even in our own homes. We cry upon thee, Holy Father. And as we spend a few moments in silent prayer, we ask, Holy Father, that you will hear our prayers. And we remember the words you taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning, 97, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Cross.
Confidence upon you and give you peace.
Amen. God be with you.